So welcome to episode 72 of Two Pre-Sales and a Pod, and this is a very special occasion. We are live at Demo Fest in London, and for, well, this is amazing, all four co-hosts are live, all within about 4 feet of each other, right in front of the microphone. This is an absolute first for us, 72 episodes in, and it's absolutely the first time we've done it live. So we've over on my right hand side, got to say it's like a one of these radio quiz programs. And we've got Tom Edwards.
Hello.
We've got Adam Freeman.
Hello.
And Mr. Mark Green.
Hello.
Okay. So, do you want a quick description about where we actually are? Because we're at etc.
I feel we should get a crowd cheer.
Yes.
Ooh, a crowd cheer.
Yeah. We've got a crowd. There we go.
Good. Yeah. Because it's not just us. There's actually lots of people in the room as well. And we're really glad that you're and grateful that you're actually able to join us here as well.
So, and there's more people in the room than normal listeners.
Yeah.
Yes, I think that often there could be just the same number of listeners as there are presenters, but we do it because
don't give it away, Mark.
That's not true. Yeah.
It is not true, but we would do it anyway. Yeah. I think that's the thing. I think we are in the fortunate position to give back to the community of pre-sales, and the community of pre-sales are here today. Yeah. Some of them are still getting coffee and they're missing out on this, and you're all in here, so thank you very much. So we've got some topics that we could cover today. So what ideas have you got?
Well, one of the things we were going to ask is for people to come up and tell us what got you into pre-sales in the first place. By the way, there's a little bit of a competition going on. Would you like to tell us a little bit about the competition and what it is?
Yes, so the competition, for the people in the room, sorry if you're listening back another day, are these amazingly
cheap
sunglasses with a very small Consensus logo on. You can, right, yes.
Yeah. They're mine now.
For the listeners, Mr. Adam Freeman. And you can tell he's not just modelling them, he's rocking that look. Is that what the kids say these days? I don't know.
And there is actually a Consensus logo on the side. Yeah, I just thought these were from the Lost and Found.
Surprisingly.
Okay.
Yeah, although, if you don't come up with a good enough quiz answer, then Adam said he does need some glasses. He's going to Australia.
I do need some glasses.
So who'd like to kind of come up first? Oh, actually, we've got one of our...
We've got a good friend of the show.
Mr. Rob Dean is just in there, so going to get as a kind of warm-up act, Mr. Rob Dean. You sit here.
Rob Dean.
Thank you. Morning, everyone.
Yeah.
Morning, the world.
So,
what got you
into pre-sales?
My mum and desperation, I suppose. actually, I started out in sales, and I kind of transitioned into pre-sales. So I actually went through a variety of sales roles, went back to university, retrained doing a master's in IT. And when I came out, having done a business analyst role for about a year, and realized I hate having to do work for internal stakeholders, I decided I wanted to go back client facing again, but I wanted to incorporate what I'd done in my university degree, my master's, and what I'd done in my sales career. And I was speaking to a recruitment company at the time who introduced me to this thing called sales engineering. And I'm like, well, that sounds good. My dad was an engineer. He worked on the London Underground. That sounds fab. And actually transpired that it was the best profession in the world. And I've never looked back since. And it is genuinely the best thing in the world to be part of, because you've got wonderful people like this in the world who want to make each other better. And that's why I'm here.
Nice. Great answer. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Cheers.
I know who's next. Lydia. She looked up at just the wrong time.
There we go. Do you want to introduce yourself and tell us what brought you into pre-sales?
I will. Hello, world. I will use the same greeting. My name is Lydia. I have been a guest before, and it's so lovely to actually see you folks in person. I was episode 69. I remember very clearly because reasons.
Yep.
I'm an adult. I'm fairly new into pre-sales. It's been 3.5 years, but the key thing that really... Worst of all, I didn't even know that pre-sales was an option. I come from a technical background. So for me, anything pre-sales related was always the architect role. And to me, that was like, oh, I need to be 20 years into my career. I need to be amazing at the tech. I need to really get it. And only then am I allowed to talk to customers. I was very wrong, which was amazing to learn when I was actually invited to become an SE for VMware 3.5 years ago now. and an entire world which is absolutely glorious with the people around me and the community that we have that actually just opened up, and I'm not leaving until...
And you'd have been learning during lockdown, right?
Yes, yeah. So I became an SE during lockdown.
Because one of the things we've said historically is that someone with 10 years SE experience has potentially got 7 years plus three in a post-pandemic world where travel was restricted and everything else. But you, interestingly, you were learning during when we were trying to learn about how we make this work in a pandemic, right?
Yep.
And interestingly, one of the sessions that you did at DemoFest X Dublin, even though you came into the fore for pre-sales in a very tech-forward moment, was all about whiteboarding.
Yes.
And it's amazing how much sometimes those skills surprise people when they go, it's so refreshing, it's nice to see it explained properly. Mm. So that was a good one.
Or not.
Thank you.
Depends what you're showing, yes. That's a good point. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you, Lydia.
Thank you, Lydia.
Oh, here we go. We've got a volunteer spring-loaded
Uh-oh.
Chair.
Yeah.
We were actually going to end the show now. No, I'm joking.
Yeah.
How do I follow that?
Go for it.
Well, true.
So we've got Ian. We haven't introduced Ian. Mary, so another podcast host. Do you remember your episode number?
No.
No.
Okay. 67, possibly?
Something around that.
Yeah, so hi, I'm Ian. I'm from IdeaGen. How did I get into pre-sales? Kind of happened organically, I think. Mm. I like solving problems, and the businesses that I work for kind of said, can you go and solve their problems? And I got speaking to customers, and then developed my own art of pre-sales, learnt from other people, and today lead other pre-sales people. So that's how I got into pre-sales.
What were you doing before you were doing pre-sales?
Well, I started off in like first line support, 20 something years ago, okay? But then I actually went down the leadership route really early on in my career. So pre-sales was something that happened at the same time. Yeah, small businesses wearing lots of hats. And that kind of continued through my journey, and now I'm in the fortunate position to focus my leadership skills in pre-sales, and I love it. Every day is a learning day, and it's lovely meeting new people all the time, speaking to customers, understanding how to solve their challenges, and bringing on people to do the same.
Excellent.
I think worth saying, when we were talking, weren't we, and we were networking, and I asked you to come on the podcast, right? And you were really nervous, weren't you? Because we get a lot of questions about what it's like to actually be a participant on an episode. And you were really nervous, weren't you, about, I hope you don't mind me saying, about coming on to it.
I'm quite nervous now, even just doing
this. That's the stage lights. Yeah, I wouldn't worry.
Yeah.
There's no one out there.
Well, it's odd, actually, because I'm a performing musician as well. Mm. I play in front of a lot of people. I don't get nervous doing that. I speak to lots of people in my day job, and I don't get nervous, but... Mm. Being under the spotlight, so to speak, reacting quickly and worrying that you might say something a bit daft.
Yeah.
Oh, well, we actually try to say daft things as much as possible.
Yeah, we fill the daft quota.
Yeah, so we're good at that.
I do.
So you think, right, I wouldn't worry.
Oh, thank you very much.
Yeah, no, it's good.
Do you know what? Isn't it amazing how many people who have done music or have done some kind of performance are in pre-sales? I know, like, Don's performs a lot of music, sort of. I've done music. But I completely agree. When you're playing music, you're behind an instrument. Or if you're performing, you're not necessarily you. Whereas, standing on a stage, if it's like a presentation or something like that, your unit is quite exposing. It is, I think, a different skill set, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it's the persona or the hat you wear at the time, isn't it? When I'm playing a band in the band, I still feel like I'm 20 years old and you can do anything. And then, when I'm doing this, I realise I'm not 20 years old.
No. Lovely. Well, thank you for coming
up.
Thank you,
Ian.
This is great.
There we go. We've got another spring-loaded chair. This is great.
Yeah, it's wonderful that everyone's participating. It means we don't have to say much.
It's like the ultimate icebreaker.
It is. Well, I mean, classically, that's why it's in front of the London Demo Fest.
Yeah?
Yeah, no, it's good. So help us break the ice. What's your name and where you come from?
Yeah, good to meet you. So... So Martin Barrett, so I'm a principal solutions consultant, pre-sales consultant at Snow Software. And just going on from the performance part, I'm not a musician. I've had three different teachers for trying to learn the fiddle, never worked. But I was in Hollywood, so I did a little stint of acting. just before moving into pre-sales. So.
Can anyone top Hollywood before with a show of hands? I think we might have peaked now.
I was going to say Tom works at Dobson Accountant, so he's obviously been learning how to fiddle.
We need a symbol.
No, I take that back. He absolutely hasn't. He's well above that.
Yes. He knows how to without
your
having
honor.
A fiddle. Yes.
But it's strange because that, you know, those kind of things actually helped to the role that we're doing today. But I started off straight out of university doing computer science, and then went straight into SAP. I was there for 10 years. And I was an operations director for Business Objects when that merger happened. And I always wanted to be in pre-sales. I knew I wanted to be. Mm. So I spoke to CIO, so there's Caroline there at the time. Chris Tapman was head of pre-sales there. I spoke to him saying, look, I wanted to get in there. And how do I do it? How do I put myself in that position? So I said, look, train up in the solution, shadow people. And so I was lucky to shadow a lot of great people. And then when the time came, an opportunity came up, you know, applied for it and went into it, so yeah, really lucky.
I think that's a really important point because a lot of people need permission to mimic what they see in other pre-sales people and those with experience. And actually a lot of the pre-sales opportunities come up at a point where someone's leaving or there's a instant demand and you don't get that time to mimic and shadow. And I think that's a really important step.
It's very lucky.
In setting people up for success. As we grow as a profession, as an industry, there should be that capability to mimic. It should be okay to do that.
Yes, very much so. And so, so when you started your pre-sales career to now, how much has changed? What do you think is the most poignant thing that you notice now that perhaps you weren't even aware of when you went into it?
Yeah, it's a good question. From what we kind of do, the day-to-day kind of role of it all, I think it's definitely come down to the personalization and moving away from, you know, you walked in there, you presented a solution. And I found that our kind of role now has moved more into the understanding, the discovery world, so getting early engagement. So moving into that sales side a lot more so that we understand our job a lot better so that we can provide the use case and the solution, the right solution, and just talk through from a day-to-day operations point of view of how this will help them, not so much about his technology and his other great things. So I find that it's moved and transitioned a lot more into understanding their world and then positioning it under solution underneath it and just get that more, you know, put it into their business essentially.
Excellent. Well, there we go. Brilliant. There we have it. Well, Martin, thank you very
much
indeed for coming
on.
Thank you, Martin.
Hello.
Hey, everybody.
I thought we were really going to have to tease people.
Oh, I know. Yeah. Because they're pre-sales people.
Yeah.
Okay. Hey. Lovely.
So I'm Michael Ryan, a lead solution consultant at Tradeshift. I was a computer scientist by background, started as a coder doing like really low level code and didn't know that pre-sales really existed as a career. I'm from a family that's like absolutely loves to storytell on both sides of the family, and so that's always been part of who I am. Mm. And then as I saw this role within tech, I knew that it was something that I wanted and worked towards it over the years.
Yeah, storytelling is really something that we all relate to, and we all it's one of the parts that we love and wish we could have in more and more.
It's one of your favourite parts of pre-sales.
It is. It really, really is. Yeah, and I think stories have has captivated people throughout eras, and so it's unsurprising that it is part of how people connect. But really good that it's part of the pre-sales skill set. More so.
It's interesting that you identified that as a primary reason for going into
pre-sales.
Yeah, that's great.
So
yeah.
It's something that I know I love, and like the being able to hold that attention. If you do it right, that's one of the tools in the kit, like whiteboarding, right? A story told well will keep people's attention and can build up to high points and, you know, really engage your audience.
Do you find it harder post-pandemic or pre-pandemic?
I think to start with, it was a change post-pandemic. It was definitely harder to start with, but then over time you redevelop your toolkit and you find other ways of switching it up, keeping people's attention. I think there's no longer the same social contract as when you're in a room with somebody. When you're in a room with someone, they're almost obliged to listen to you. When you're remote, I think if you can't see people's faces, sometimes their attention loses, so it becomes even more important having that kit to keep people's attention.
And say what, for I know it doesn't come particularly naturally to some people. It's something I've had to work really hard on, is storytelling. I mean, for people who do have to really work on it, have you got any sort of tips or tricks or advice?
Ooh, that's interesting. So there's lots of material out there, like on storytelling for storytellers, for writers, authors. I suppose things like the persona-based stuff, which I know there's a session on today, like understanding who your actors are within your story, and then finding ways within that to build tension and build to reveals. Again, it's something that's like useful, mm-hmm. so especially that crosses over into pre-sales quite well.
I can feel a full episode coming on.
Absolutely.
Yeah, storytelling.
We've got a question from the audience.
Oh,
this is great. Do go ahead.
Any chance of telling us a short story? Oh, wow.
Sure. Well, the question got picked up by the mic.
So, no. So the question was, any chance of telling a short story? And we're going to have all the people in the room vote whether or not the story is sunglasses worthy.
Yeah.
So look what you could win today with any story, literally.
Okay. So I suppose a story about storytelling then. So I said my family is a storytelling family, and that's both sides of them, right? So my father's side is Irish background and absolutely love to tell the kind of traditional stories, but also like between them you'll sit around in a room. My mum's side is probably in some ways even more of a storytelling family. So if they had a family motto and they designed a crest, it would be a snake in a book with never let the truth spoil a good story being their motto. And I think it's really because of that that's kind of brought me to it. My granddad is a hell of a liar through his life, but he will always build those kind of tall tales. He was also a massive cheat, and he would cheat at every game he ever taught us. So he taught us how to win, but also how to look outside maybe the core rule sets for how to do this. And there's probably another story around that that's probably best told after a beer.
We can make that happen.
Building, that's building
so what do we reckon,
right?
Folks?
So if anybody would like to know, come and ask me after a beer and we'll tell that story.
So is that sunglasses worthy by a round of applause?
Yeah.
Yes. Nice one.
Cool. Well done.
Nice one. Thank you very much indeed.
You have to wear them all day now.
I have to wear
them. And there's beers later, after Demo Fest or at the end of Demo Fest. So hang around and you might hear the other story.
So I think we've got time for kind of one more story.
We do, yes.
Amanda.
Hey, Amanda.
Hello. I saw a picture of you flying in yesterday.
Yes.
Yeah, flying in from?
Barcelona.
Wow.
Yeah.
There we go.
Excellent.
Yeah, great to be here and see you guys in person.
So
yeah.
So what was your journey into pre-sales?
Well, it was probably a very common journey for a lot of us. I was in technical support, professional services, and then I was put in front of customers, and that's how it started. So, yeah.
No choice in it.
No
it
choice
just
in it. Yeah, yeah. It was like it seems like you know how to speak to customers. Give it a try.
Yeah.
And yeah, but that was back when you know pre-sales was still becoming a thing.
And what do you do now? What have you ended up with?
I'm still a sales engineer. I've been through management, I do what pre-sales do. So yeah.
Excellent. Well, it's excellent to see that we've got people from coming in from other countries to visit Demo Fest.
Yep.
We'll probably have to wrap that up. But Amanda, thank you so much for coming
on.
Thank
you so much.
Thanks.
Two pre-sales in a pod. Don, come back and sit down. Welcome back.
I've been working the room.
So what we usually do at this point of the podcast is we do this.
Yeah,
we're like, we've got a few minutes left.
Yeah.
And for obviously no one at home can see what that was, but you'll just have to guess. But we usually leave with some actionable insights, some top tips. And perhaps we should do top tips this time about which sessions people could visit today.
Well, you'll have to come
Demo
to me last
Fest.
Then, because I'm going to look at the agenda.
He's so concentrated on his own. Well, in that case, I'm going to recommend your session because it's... I've seen the slides. It's quite fun.
You've got the slides.
I do have the slides because Adam travelled light and didn't bring his laptop.
Yeah.
And I think what will be really interesting is the energy and the power that pre-sales leadership now has and that extreme ownership of the problem and the solution and the outcome. Mm-hmm. So I'm very much looking forward to your session later on, which is in room number one over there. What time is it?
I think it's 11 o'clock. Sammy always knows this kind of stuff. I think it's 11 o'clock.
It is at a time. Yeah. It's so a time. Check it out whenever it is out. Mm. How about you, Don?
it's going to sound weird because I think at 1 p.m. there are three sessions in parallel. So I'm actually going to recommend Tom's session, which is not my own session because we're up against
you're
each
competing.
Other. I know. I wish it wasn't like that, but hey, you know, if you want a full range of really good speakers, then this is the kind of thing that happens. But we were chatting last night about talking about return on investment, and I'm a huge fan of that, trying to evaluate what it is and make sure it's something that clients actually care about. So I'm going to say go to Tom's session, which is at 1 p.m. in whatever room I'm not in.
Yeah, number four. But what I would say is, actually, you should go to Don's. Because the one thing I took away from Demo Fest last year was a story about sausages, and that was from Don's presentation.
It was. Over a friend, and the two of us used to put the word sausages in RFPs. And I can't mention who he is because he actually doesn't work very far away from here. He's quite senior now, and he'd be really upset if I mentioned his name. But we just got really upset with having to answer so many RFPs, and we just never believed anyone ever read them. So we would randomly put the word sausages somewhere in there, and no one ever caught us for 5 years. So which rather proves the point, I think.
Well, there we go. So there's some great actionable insights, great top tips. We're going to have to leave it there. Any last words before we all dive into DemoFest?
No, let's do it.
Let's do it. Excellent. Thank you, everybody. You're a wonderful audience.
Thank you. Thank you.
There we go.
Brilliant.